Hey you, I got a question for you. What are you doing in June? Specifically, the 10th to the 14th. Well, if you're wondering why I'm asking you this, it's because I've got my next Mexico retreat happening in Tulum in Mexico for 4 nights, 5 days this June. Now, this whole event will be like being my best friend because we're going to be hanging out in 5-star luxury. This retreat is all about embodiment. It's about rapid growth using transformational human design and at the same time, living in the lap of luxury. So spend 5 days with me in an intimate setting, discovering your purpose, sitting poolside, having deep conversations and connecting with like-minded people who will become your lifelong friends. And honestly, it's like being my best friend for a week. So if you're curious, it's important that you know if you join before April 22nd, you'll get 1 month free in HDX. And the next 4 people who join are going to get a free 60-minute unpack session with one of my extraordinary coaches. Sound good? Well, it really is that good. At the end of the day, I want to spend this time with you deep diving into your human design while having the greatest transformations and breakthroughs of your life. And let's be honest, probably mine too. See you in Tulum. Hey everyone, and welcome to the Human Design Podcast with me, your host, Emma Dunwoody. I'm a qualified master coach and human behavior specialist, as well as being a qualified human design coach. And I work with clients every single day to answer the big questions. Who am I? Why am I here? And what is my purpose? I also assist them to transition from the person they think they should be to the person they really are on the inside. I teach people how to actually live their design instead of just knowing it. And if this is something that you want to do too, well, stay tuned or reach out for private coaching or Human Design Unpacks where I show you exactly how to live your design. Hey, hey, everyone, and welcome to this podcast. I have just got a little announcement to get to before I get into this episode with the amazing manifester, Frankie Bax. Now, I am starting this series on type that will come to you every Monday, my time in Australia. And what it's going to be doing is it's all about being a manifestor or being a generator or being an MG or being a projector or being a reflector. So it's going to go through the knowledge, everything that we learn about type. And I'm doing that in conversation with someone who is actually that type. So we're going to kick off today with our first guest, Frankie, who is a manifestor. Now, the reason that I'm doing this for you is I really want to support your human design journey. I want to make sure that you can understand what it's like to be in alignment and potentially the challenges that you're going to face or the things to look out for or how you can really make sense of your human design, especially when you first come to it. Now, but if you're a newbie or a junkie, there's going to be plenty of information in here for you because listening to a real time or an in real life manifestor is really going to be able to give you more in-depth experience and resonance and help you on your journey. So stay tuned for the rest of this series. I'll have a different guest, obviously, on every episode. Now, before I get to that, though, I want to remind you that we are enrolling people right now for the Mastermind. And ultimately, this mastermind really helps human design newbies and junkies to become an expert in their human design super fast so that they can finally experience freedom to live their unique soul purpose. You know, this is something that so many people are not doing, and this mastermind is really going to connect you to that unique soul purpose. You know, human design doesn't have to be complicated, and ultimately in the mastermind, I teach people through simple and repeatable actions that get results fast and empower you to become your own guru. So you don't have to rely on me or anyone else. else, you can actually learn to love, trust, and accept yourself as your own leader, your own guru, and transform your life. So if this has been something that has spoken to you, that you've had the nudge from the universe, well, this is the sign that you're looking for. We still have some seats available, and I would love, love, love as many of you to get on it. So if you want to join the mastermind, go to the show notes, check out the link, go to the webinar replay page, click on the replay. You will go through to a landing page where you can either enroll or you can book a call to talk to me. If you can't find a call in your time zone that's available, then just DM me, reach out, because this transformational event is not to be missed. So if you're being nudged in this direction, then please do not let fear stand in your way, because this will change your life. All right, enough on that. I am so looking forward to you guys getting into the Type series and hearing from our amazing guests. So I'll shut up and leave you to it. Bye for now. Hey, hey, everyone, and welcome to today's podcast. Now, today marks the beginning of a mini series within the podcast, which is super exciting. I am going through this process of upgrading, improving a lot of the podcasts that I've done in the past. So instead of taking down the old ones, because there's often a lot of value in there, I'm just going to do things in a little bit differently, or I'm going to reinvent it or think about it or deliver it in a different way. So today what we're doing is we're kicking off a mini series on type. So we're going to start with the manifestor today, and I'm going to share what it is to be a manifestor, what we learn about, what we know in theory. And today I've got with us Frankie from my last mastermind, who is an in real life manifestor, to actually talk about her experience of becoming a more in alignment manifestor as opposed to a highly conditioned manifestor. Now, obviously, our journeys are always ongoing, and Frankie's journey of really deconditioning has just amplified significantly in the last few months. So her insights are going to be incredibly powerful for all of you manifestors out there, or all of you working with manifestors or living with manifestors or raising manifestors, to really help you understand them, not from a knowledge base, but also from a real walking, talking manifestor. All right. So I trust that sounds exciting. I'm really excited to share these people with you and these stories with you. So let's dive right in. So Frankie, welcome to the podcast.
Oh, thank you so, so, so much for having me on here. And it's been such a pleasure working with you and just discovering all these new things about myself, about manifestors. And I think it's so beautiful and valuable, the work that you do, and really kind of showing people their uniqueness and sort of giving us permission to be ourselves. So I'm super, super excited to do this with you. And also, like, just, yeah, inspire people out there, especially the manifestors, to really kind of know that it's okay to be themselves. And hopefully that's what we can do today.
Just sharing. Exactly. Exactly. And you've nailed it. Give people permission to be who they are. I feel like that's a lot of what your journey's been all about. And we're going to talk about a lot of that along the way. So let's kick off. For all my listeners out there, maybe you're new to human design, what specifically makes a manifestor? Well, the logistics of a manifestor, number one, it means they have a motor to the throat. Now, what does that mean? It means that they either have the solar plexus, the root center, or the heart center, also called the will center, colored in, defined, and then they have a channel that gets the energy to the throat. Now, it can go direct to the throat,
And it can go in other ways to the throat, but ultimately it is all about having this energy get to the throat. What that does is it gives the manifestor what we call an energetic independence. So not only do they have the ability to have consistent and reliable energy, they also can get it to the throat without needing another person or a transit to get it there. So they have this energetic independence about them. Now, this energetic independence can feel like I don't need people. It doesn't mean they don't want people, but it definitely is a feeling of I don't need other people. And it can turn into an unresourceful, I'm 10 foot tall and bulletproof and I don't need you. And that's an unresourceful not needing people. But Frankie, tell me a little bit before we jump into strategy, tell me a little bit about that. Do you have a resonance of feeling that energetic independence? And maybe how does that play out with your relationships?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that was definitely something that really connected with me that I never quite understood sort of what was it that sort of, I mean, I love being with people and I love, you know, communities and all that, but ultimately that I'm quite happy to just go off by myself and, you know, do something. Or even I think in friendships, that was quite something, that thing of, you know, needing other people, that I'm constantly like, oh, I need to see you. I'm totally happy to be there and to, you know, even when you have people that they come into your life and you have this amazing connections, but it wasn't that I needed to constantly be in touch with them. It's like, I see you and we have the most amazing time, but then we apart and then I see you a year later and it's almost like nothing's changed or we kind of have the same connections. But I've always felt like I always told myself I'm not very good with keeping in touch or being this person that constantly keeps, you know, those interactions, because I felt like I didn't need it. So yeah, I guess in an unresourceful way, I always felt a bit like, ooh, you know, I'm not being a good friend almost, because I'm not that person that wants to keep in touch all the time or wants to see everybody all the time. But so that was just beautiful to actually realize that I am a good friend. I can be a good friend because when I'm there and when I'm present and, you know, it's beautiful, but it's not that neediness of having to be with them or see them all the time. So
Yeah. I love that. It's so cool. And instantly hearing you talk, it just reminds me of me and my you know, only mentor I ever had in advertising. He was my first ever boss. He's a manifestor. And still to this day, we're very dear friends. But sometimes I think there's been like 3 years or, you know, big chunks of time where we just don't talk to each other. And then all of a sudden we're on the phone and it's like exactly the same as it was the other day. And I suppose him being a manifestor and me being an MG with more manifestor, like I really resonate with that. And I totally resonate with the years of feeling like I'm a bad friend for not keeping those connections going. So I love that bit too. Thank you. So we're going to move on to the manifestor is like, they are our initiator. They are the ones that literally inspire action in the generator, in the manifesting generator, in the rest of the planet to take action to grow things, to build things. But before they get to that point, the manifestor is our initiator. They have a direct connection, like a non-verbal energy that moves through them that's directly connected to source. And that energy moves them into taking action, to doing things, to sparking things, to creating a movement, to having an idea, all sorts of things. But it's a very independent energy that means that they can get out in the world and start something. Now, what happens when the manifestor gets out into the world and starts something? Source is moving through them and they have this really close connection to source, meaning that it's almost like they're plugged in. They're plugged into some, you know, big, massive amplifier, and they're on their way and off they go. Now, when they're in that space and they're in their flow of that energy, then they are in their most creative time. And this is literally them being in alignment. However, a couple of things can happen if they don't listen to their strategy. And we're going to get to strategy very quickly in just a moment. Now, if they don't listen to their strategy, which is all about informing, it means that they're going to be tipped out of alignment and they're going to be tipped into anger. And now anger isn't necessarily just because, you know, they have anger management issues at all. What it's about is it's about being pulled out of that creative flow, that flow of energy that's moving through them. And it's almost like they've been plugged into the amplifier. It's like life is on flow. They are experiencing peace. Their signature is at peace. They're at peace creating. And then all of a sudden someone pulls them out. They unplug them. And that is that anger that can come up in them. Now, this anger can also be reflected back at them from someone else when they're out of alignment as well. So, Frankie, do you want to talk a little bit to that? Are you aware when Source is moving through you and really driving this creative initiation through you? And do you have that experience of if you get unplugged or when you're in the experience, it feels quite peaceful. But when you're unplugged, you can go to anger or perhaps you experience it around you. Do you want to talk a little bit to that? Does that resonate with you?
That's such an interesting question, actually. And I was like, anger, because anger, I guess, is definitely an emotion that was not really something that I was allowed to express growing up. Or I guess as a woman, and even in our society, it's not really something that is encouraged to be expressed. So I guess for me, it sort of came out as frustration, or I cry a lot, or I used to cry a lot. I mean, I still do. I'm very sensitive as well. But so I think that was sort of the equivalent of when I couldn't be angry as such, when I couldn't really express that emotion, but obviously that energy had to go somewhere. So kind of the crying was almost a suppressed expression of anger. So it's something that at first I'm like, no, I'm never angry. I'm super chilled, you know. And then kind of obviously during this process of discovering that actually I do have anger in me, and that it's important to acknowledge that and to be okay that that's part of who I am, or part of actually me expressing myself in a healthy way. I've kind of sort of leaned into it and sort of, you know, expressed it a little bit more. I'm not quite there yet in terms of I can get super angry. And also anger can be obviously used in a resourceful way as well. Like it's such a big energy that you can use. Doesn't mean you have to shout and you have to, you know, like slam like plates or break things. But to use it, the anger in a way that is actually resourceful and that is a beautiful energy that can almost, you know, drive you even more. So yeah, I've kind of been experimenting with it a bit more and allowing it to come up and really recognizing when it's coming and why it is coming, because it's just so many things that are completely new, and just having the awareness that when I have that creative flow, because it's literally like this thing that it's such a sudden thing that I'm feeling like I need to go somewhere, I need to do something. So, and it's not always like something huge, you know, like what society or what we would call, oh, this is this huge creative thing. Sometimes it could just be like on an adventure that I just want to go this way instead of staying on the path, or because I want to discover something, or I think there's just something might be up there, or just even that feeling of being alive and doing something different. and to then trust to go with that when it's really unconventional or when it's not something that is sort of the normality. And then when I have, let's say I'm doing it with someone and somebody with me that is there that says, no, we need to stay on the path. No, we can't go there. We can't do. Then I'm just like, seriously, I feel like so angry, frustrated. And like realizing that because of that, I think I've then prefer to do things by myself, so I don't have to, because I almost feel like I need to ask for permission when I'm actually just feeling that I need to just do this. That I've just not done it. And then actually the anger is not so much necessarily at other people, but I often then feel angry and frustrated with myself for not doing it.
Yeah.
I think sometimes maybe at them as well, but yeah. I think.
Yeah. I love that. And that's so, so important, you know, like what I loved about what you just said is such an important piece for a manifestor. This feeling like you have to ask permission. You know, as a manifestor, you're on the planet to be unapologetically yourself. That's what a manifestor is here to do, because it inspires others. It inspires others to be unapologetically themselves. And it's something that with manifestors, so often they feel like they have to ask permission to be who they are, to do what they want. And this is a really important part of their strategy, or ties in importantly to the strategy. And I want to come back to peace as well, but I will come back to that in a minute. Now, the strategy of a manifestor is to inform. And this comes to this place of, you know, asking for permission. Informing is never, ever asking for permission. It is literally building the muscle of telling people where you're headed, what you're doing. Because when we inform others, it's like the big whirlwind of the manifestor. So the manifestor has a big, powerful aura. So when the manifestor walks into a room, people know that you've walked into a room. And as a kid, that can be daunting, that can be scary, because you see that you affect others. So many manifestors will make themselves smaller, will try and direct attention to other people to mitigate their big energy. But this big energy does not need to ask permission. However, the way to stay in flow, to be able to experience more creativity with less interruption, is all about the strategy of informing, making sure that you can inform others about what you're doing. So through this journey with you, Frankie, have you, number one, have you been experimenting with informing, which I know you have, and how has that specifically changed your relationships and being able to do you and be more unapologetically you?
So, that was definitely a really, really valuable piece of information to understand the informing, and not just that I have to inform, because that wasn't even an awareness that I had, in terms of that when I get the creative flow, I'm just going to go off and do it. It's almost like not even thinking about that I need to inform anyone. And then the second part of informing doesn't mean asking for permission. So really understanding the difference, because for me, I guess it was always about informing meant I have to ask permission. And then if I don't hear what I want to hear, that would then stop me in my flow, and then I wouldn't do. So it then, I guess, automatically resulted in me not even wanting to tell anyone, just not even saying anything. And then obviously understanding that other people don't necessarily have that understanding, or that what was going on, or what I was doing, or saying, hey, it would have actually been super nice if you could have let me know. So then that you come back to somebody being disappointed or being upset with you, and then you're just like, oh God. So really kind of informing now, meaning just to let you know, yeah, has been massive, because it literally just you know, just stops you getting into those situations where, because then also I always felt bad afterwards that I haven't, you know, I haven't let you know. Yeah, I can see where you're coming from too. So you always create that bit uncomfortable feeling. Whereas now, telling somebody straight away doesn't mean I'm asking. I'm just telling you, and then I can go off and do my thing. And yeah, it just straight away creates so much more understanding, peace, because they're like, yeah, cool, absolutely, go off. Thank you for letting me know. Actually, that was a lot of feedback that I had, you know, not always like in a big way, but just, yeah, it just creates a much smoother path where then we can go off. And it feels almost even more beautiful, like, go and do it. Like, almost then I have extra permission, not just for myself, but also from that person to be go off. And even if they don't agree with it, I know I let them know. So it feels like also for myself more comfortable to just go and do it. So yeah, it's been really, really changing. With, you know, I mean, at work, I work for myself, so I don't really have to ask permission. Definitely with my partner, although I think he knows he's very, very, very relaxed with me and really, you know, encouraging me to do what I need to do. But it definitely has made a big difference, and he's super grateful. He's like, oh, thank you so much. It's almost like allowing me to be part of your journey, or of your way of thinking, of your creativity. And that in itself actually has brought us closer together, because he no longer feels that I'm shutting him out, which obviously I didn't necessarily do with intention. But now it feels like, you know, even with us, we are much more in alignment, because he knows what I'm thinking, what my ideas are, why I need to go off. And yeah, it's just, I guess communication is always such a beautiful thing to,
yeah, to have. Yeah, and I think this is so powerful. You make so many amazing points. You know, this informing piece, it doesn't come naturally. It's not something that manifestors naturally do. And you hit on the exact reason that I hear time and time again, is because if I tell someone, they'll try and stop me, or I'll have to do something different, or they'll say no. And it's really counterintuitive, you know, really counterintuitive. And I love what you said, that now your partner feels like, you know, he has that buy-in and that he's on the journey with you now. And I think that that is what's so powerful about the manifestor, is that because you experience the world from your energy and this independence, I see manifestors, it's like that. Some of them, it doesn't even occur to them that people want to be on the journey with them. And then the moment they actually start informing, they're like, oh, yeah, sure, come along. Of course, you're welcome. You know, I'll share until the cows come home. So I think this informing piece is so incredibly powerful. And the other piece is that, you know, it's important for a manifestor to teach those around them that they need to be informed as well. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it was quite interesting, because obviously the feeling that I didn't have to inform or didn't have to tell anyone, but I was so like, I really need to know this. And obviously that's kind of a bit like, what do you mean? Like, you don't need to inform, but you want us to inform you. So kind of understanding why I also feel that I need to know. So where it's not about control, I need to know everything that you're doing, but that again, it straight away, like I said, that communication and that understanding of each other, and to be, again, have permission to ask or to say, hey, I actually do really appreciate if you, or I need to be informed. Not even just I appreciate, of course I do, but I need to be informed, because that for me also, I don't know, it feels just, I'm much more in harmony if I know what's happening, if I know what's going on. So I can then also kind of navigate myself, or sort of understand, or you know, adjust to things
yeah.
Much easier way. And yeah, again, it's that thing of hey, I need to know too. Yeah. And teaching people to do that and asking them that would be really cool. And yeah, it's been so cool to experiment with all that, because it's definitely changed how I am operating, how I teach people to be with me, and it just creates much more flow and much more harmony.
Yeah. And that's it, you know, it's that flow and harmony. And this really brings me back to this piece. Recently in my membership, we had the Manifestor panel. So I'm doing this within the membership as well, just sort of on a bigger scale. And all of them talked to peace and how peace had always played a really big role in their life, especially their childhood. And ultimately, we know that a manifestor that is creating and in their flow, they experience this peace. It's what we call their signature. Do you have a relationship or an awareness or resonance of that, of peace being a big player? Like, I know you said earlier that, you know, you just, oh, I'm just so laid back. But is that something that is sort of like this undercurrent that's always driving you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, peace, harmony, it's something that I'm always craving and also kind of trying to create. And I guess that part of, I grew up in a big family. I'm one of seven. Beautiful, beautiful, like so much fun, so much stuff. But even how I experience when there's not peace, when there's, you know, arguments, and how I take that on. And I guess part of me not stepping into who I am was about keeping peace. And so by, you know, not being that person that interrupts things or that comes with their big creative ideas or wants to do things differently was about keeping peace and fitting in and making everyone else feel comfortable and almost like being the navigator that keeps everyone at, you know, in peace or in that space. So it's almost like, yeah, we wanted, or I really craved it and tried to create it even in my environment, like having a peaceful environment. So it's not just about people, but it's also where do I feel at peace, you know, like nature plays a big part in my life, that I being on the river in my kayak, you know, it's like peace. And I'm like, oh, when everything is just in flow, it's such a beautiful thing. And that's when I feel, you know, most happy, I guess.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's so fascinating how, because of that underlying wanting of peace, that's how that also plays a part, how I played or what I do or the way I operate in the world because of that. And so kind of understanding that it doesn't mean one thing. You can't do this without having that, where, you know, I thought peace would always be if I am kind of making myself small, but kind of, you know, not going out in the world and experimenting with that. And that, you know, that peace within is like the first thing that is important, is not the peace outside. Because how often then, by you not being you and trying to create the peace on the outside, inside you actually feel sad or you feel unhealthy or exhausted and all those things. And even that, like, you know, feeling that much more now, that if I am not in myself, how that peace and that feeling inside of me is like screaming at me and like, what are you doing?
And I like everything I hear. It's really fascinating, you know, because I hear, obviously I work with a lot of manifestors. However, being really specific, like doing this interview with you and also having the manifestor panel, like just hearing you speak, it's crazy. It's like I'm hearing the same words coming out of your mouth as I heard come out of these three other individuals. And, you know, what you were talking about is this, you know, unresourcefully, a manifestor will become a peacekeeper or a people pleaser because they're so driven to create this peace. And I, like, you know, you sound like that's what happened for you in your family. And the crazy thing is that it's actually the opposite. You know, it's exactly what you said, that when the manifestor creates the peace internally through informing, through being unapologetically themselves, through listening to source when source moves through them, and creating, understanding that they are energetically independent, and, you know, teaching people to inform them, then all of a sudden the peace shows itself. Whereas, you know, as kids, often when you're trying to make yourself smaller as a manifestor, you're so busy trying to keep the peace externally through making yourself small, through trying to take care of everyone else's emotions, that, like you said, that there's no peace internally, because you're literally like juggling like a crazy clown in your own body and energy and mind. So it's so fascinating to hear how this people pleasing, this peacekeeping, is such a big player for manifestors. And ultimately, they're not on the planet to navigate other people's emotions. Like, I mean, we're all here to take care of our own emotions, but some of the other types are meant to be more receptive to emotions, in the fact that they are here to you know, play a different role interacting within relationship, whereas the manifestor is here so much to inspire, and allowing themselves to the permission to create their internal peace, to give themselves permission to be unapologetically themselves, to tell people what they're doing, where they're going, what they're creating, and really flipping all of that unresourcefulness on its head so that they can expand into their biggest energy. And I just think it's freaking magical. I think you guys are magical. Love it. Now I want to talk a bit about, first I want to talk about manifestors in relationships. So we know you guys are energetically independent. We know that you need to be informed. But tell us a little bit about a manifestor in a relationship. Like, this is someone who is going to need their own space, their own freedom, their own sovereignty within the relationship. And often people don't give themselves the permission, let alone ending up in a relationship that could be codependent, or someone who really draws down on their energy. And that can feel really like, oh God, I should this and I should that. Do you want to talk a little bit about that energetic independence and what you need in a relationship, and perhaps, you know, things that you're only just starting to give yourself permission to do and be in a relationship now you know that you're a manifestor?
Yeah. So, I mean, throughout my lifetime, I've had a few relationships. and I guess especially, so I got married when I was very, very young and had my children very young as well. So I guess in that very first serious relationship, being, you know, I've just come to England from Germany, and sort of that was my time to be free from my East German sort of upbringing and the family surroundings and all that kind of stuff, and meeting someone and all that kind of stuff. But obviously I was very, very sort of open and naive, and then being with someone that, you know, obviously with his intention, I'm sure, was to protect me and to, you know, guide me. He was a little bit older than me and stuff. But it was really in there where that thing of not, for me, the worst thing is being controlled. And that in that relationship really became like a massive issue. And like, again, obviously we all doing the best that we can with what we have. And I'm sure for him, that was not something that he intended or that he was even consciously aware of. And I guess I didn't have the resources to even know what it was that I needed. Or so where you start having a relationship in a very specific way that then sets out the roadmap for how it's going to go. And then when you realize that actually that does not work for me, down the road, I guess that's when often it's really challenging to kind of break free and things like that. And it's only kind of as I grew up and became a woman and kind of started to realizing a little bit more what it is that I need, or I guess for me at first it was what I don't want. I didn't really know what I wanted or what was kind of a healthy relationship for me, because I just saw what wasn't really working. So whereas now, knowing that it's so important for me to have that independence, where almost like I couldn't be in a relationship where I don't have that. That's the first, foremost, most important thing, totally. Because kind of, you know, being able to spread my wings, being able to do what I want when I want. And yeah, that sounds a bit like, well, if you're in a relationship, you have to compromise and you have to, like, you know, which of course there can be compromises, but that kind of basic way of being, and again, being unapologetically you, is huge. And I can actually say that I guess it's only in this relationship that I fully embraced that, but also that he is constantly kind of giving me that permission or allowing me to do that. And the more he gives me that, the more I'm giving. I think I initially maybe not necessarily gave that permission to myself, but by being with somebody that is giving it to you, you realize that actually I do have it. I can do this. And that's been really, really beautiful to experience. And still, I mean, it's an ongoing thing, because like you said, it's having that permission, or not even asking for permission, but when you have it, it feels even better. Or sometimes it's not even a permission, it's more that encouragement of, you need to do you. You need to go away. You need to, absolutely, because I know if you're not, you're not going to be happy. And all I want for you is to be happy. So having also somebody that, you know, that has their own independence, that is totally good with you being you, and encouraging that has been such a blessing. And I think the more you have that, the more you're realizing in other aspects where you can give yourself more permission to do that, and also not being controlled by your own, you know, ideas or beliefs. Or so I guess that just comes, it's like all these layers that you sort of unraveling, and the more that you building that muscle, as you like to say, the more you're realizing, yeah, I can do that, and I don't have to be this way, or I don't have to operate in that way. And it's just, yeah, it just becomes this journey of exploration and constantly growing and unraveling what is down there.
yeah what is deep down in there. I love that. And you know what I really love, it's like we have this perception from the mind that we have to go out into the world and find what we're looking for. And in hearing your story, it's just such, it's this beautiful evidence, and the counterintuitive truth is that because you've done the work on you, and I mean, you are a life coach, you have been on the personal development journey for extended period of time. So you've been able to attract that person into your life that knows that it's not his job to make you happy, and you know it's your job to make you happy. So you've attracted that person, which means as you've come to human design and really stepped in, and it's almost like, I love hearing this, and I've loved watching your journey, because it's kind of like you're putting your toe out of this imaginary circle that you've had yourself in. And every time you put your toe or your whole foot out, you're like, oh my God, it's like amazing out here, and everyone's cool with it if I'm out here. And this is the thing that I think with manifestors is so incredibly beautiful to really watch, and you use the term, watch them spread their wings, like really understand that you will attract that person that wants those wings as wide as possible. And the gratitude that you receive from your partner when you do start informing him and he's like, oh, wow, cool, thanks, that's awesome, didn't need it, but love it. And this is just says so much to the whole model, if you like, of human design and how powerful it can be, because our mind is telling us stories that we can't do this, we can't be this way. And when we just experiment with our design and we get out of there and we do the counterintuitive things and the things we think we're not allowed to do or we don't have permission for, and the opposite happens, like we receive more love, we receive more freedom, we receive more abundance, we receive more joy. It's so rewarding because it's that feeling that we've had deep down our entire life that this actually could be true, but it's the first time that we're like, oh no, this shit's really true and I'm loving it. And I think that's what's so powerful about watching anyone's journey, that once you start experimenting, that there is so much potential to be more you and in alignment with who you came here to be and express your purpose with very little effort. So yeah, I'm totally loving it. Now, the next thing I want to ask you about is parenting a manifestor. Now, I'm actually talking more to your journey as a manifestor child. Like you've already shared, and what I hear a lot from manifestors is, you know, you were told to be quiet. You were told to, you know, you were trying to manage other people's emotions. You were trying to keep yourself small. And ultimately, this creates a real wound for manifestors. And ultimately, one of the things I hear a lot is that manifestors don't trust their voice. They don't trust that they can just open their mouth and speak from their inherent gifts, whether that's from their solar plexus, from their heart, from, you know, whatever their definition is. So what I'd love to, before we actually talk about potentially giving tips to someone who's parenting a manifestor, maybe talk a little bit to you as a manifestor child. Was it hard for you to start to trust your voice and use your voice as you grew up and sort of deconditioned? And then B, what was it that you craved as a child from your parents that you didn't receive?
Wow, powerful questions. So as I kind of mentioned earlier, I mean, I grew up in a huge family. I was the second oldest. So my mom had like a handful, as you can imagine. So one of my brothers is literally like 10 months older. One is like a year younger. So it was literally full on. And as you can imagine, I mean, for her looking back, it must have been, you know, super, super challenging to juggle all that. And that within that kind of setting, you know, how do you manage seven children? Of course, there has to be, you know, order and rules and, you know, things set in place that you are even able to do that. And now from an adult point of view, I totally see that, you know, she was doing the best, or they, I'm talking as if it was just my mom, but she was sort of, my dad was often at work. She was sort of the home, the mom at home. So yeah, I think she literally knowing that she did the best she could, but for me, it really was a lot about not being able to say what I wanted, do what I wanted, because we were just, and also we, you know, we grew up Catholic. So there was a lot of, in a communist country, so there were so many rules and regulations and things that we couldn't do, especially expressing yourself. So speaking, I mean, even, you know, as a child, to say something to an adult, often that was seen as rude. If you just say, hey, but can I just, you know, you just want to start? No. Literally being shut down, like no discussions about anything. This is the rules. This is what you've been told. This is what you need to do. And that in itself, I mean, like looking back, it's just so interesting that you bring this up, because often we kind of forget about these things. But how often I really felt like I couldn't speak. And even when I tried, it wasn't received well at all. It was like I've been rude or disrespectful, or, you know, straight away, no discussion. So just or no, that's not true, or that's not, you know, I don't believe you, or, you know, things like literally where by hearing that over and over, you being shut down, and to the point where then you just don't even speak. I literally just shut it off. And also, I mean, I was very small. I guess that in itself is like, you know, like almost like you don't matter, you don't count, you don't. Of course, that was not the intention, but that's literally how it felt. And then if you take the voice away as well, I guess for us that's such an important part of speaking, of, you know, through our words, using our words to express, empower, inspire, inform. Mm-hmm. So to be kind of shut down at such a young age, I guess that was definitely massive. And kind of realizing that very often, I mean, now I am I'm stepping more into it and I'm using my voice much more. But there's definitely still times when I feel like I can't speak.
Mm.
I don't give myself permission to speak. Or yeah. I feel like almost scared to speak. And sometimes even my voice is almost like I have this big frog in my throat. I have this, I can't breathe, I can't speak. And I feel, and my voice goes really kind of wobbly as well. And I'm like,
yeah.
Sometimes I say something and it's not coming out. So yeah, that's definitely something, I guess, that still needs some healing and love and trusting that when I'm in the mood, I need to speak.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I love it. And it fascinates me because, you know, so many manifestors have that similar story. Like, yes, there's different characters in their story and, you know, they grow up in different families, but there's still this story of their voice playing such a massive role and feeling shut down. And this really is what we want our manifestors to be doing, is healing this, because we need them to be speaking, because when they speak, we know where to look. We know where the inspiration is coming from. And that's, you know, that's what we need. We need to know. We need to be informed. We need to see our manifestors shining bright so that we can really expand on everything that they're initiating out into the world. I love it. I love it. Thank you. Now, the last question I'm going to ask you, is if there's, because there's bound to be a bunch of people who are coaches or readers or human design guides out there listening to this podcast, what advice would you give to these people when they are reading for or coaching manifestors? What do you think that they need to know?
I think one of the biggest things that I've experienced also with, you know, having a coach or having a therapist, the way that you ask questions. It's super, super helpful to ask open-ended questions and ask questions where you really encourage them to express whatever is that it's coming. Definitely don't give advice. I really, it's always that thing where I'm like, I just want to share this with you. Or sometimes like even this thing of how many times when we speak or when I speak, and through me speaking, I have so many realizations when I'm allowed to be in the flow. So I would definitely say, yeah, try not to give advice. Obviously it comes from a good place, but allow that person to just express whatever comes, create that space, that safe space where they can really create, where they don't feel judged, where they feel heard, they feel seen, and they can be unapologetically themselves. So really, non-judgmental. Of course, everybody that works in that field, of course, you know, wants to do that. But I think even more so for the manifestors, it's so important to create that environment where you allow them to. And also, I mean, again, okay, for me specifically, I guess because I have also, I'm an emotional manifestor, to also really listen to the mood, to also be okay when sometimes they don't want to say anything, they don't feel like talking. So not to be like, okay, you know, or approach it from a different angle so they don't feel like under pressure, they need to speak now when maybe they're not in the mood and they can't actually right now express it. So if it's possible, might not always be, you know, maybe come back to that another time or give them that time when they are in the mood or when they can speak. And yeah, really, really encouraging that voice to come out and to be heard by, you know, giving that safety and that that space to express.
Yeah. Oh my goodness, I love it. I love it. It's that hands down, do not tell a manifestor what to do, ever. And you're so right. Like, I love that you hit on open-ended questions. You know, one of the things that I love when working with a manifestor is exactly that, like just asking a question and then listening. You know, one of the things that was so prevalent throughout the mastermind is it's kind of like all I had to do was give you something and then you would start talking. And I would see your energy, like when something dropped in and you were like, oh, it's this, or the awareness would come in, or you're like, oh, it's that. And, you know, I would almost chuckle sometimes because I'm like, I'm just sitting back, you know, there's no heavy lifting going on over here. And to watch the, you know, how you make sense of you, you answer your questions, you know what's correct and in alignment for you. And it really is about that being able to hold space, ask a powerful question for you to go on a journey, and then just shut up and listen. And I think I've had so many people I've worked with, you know, say, oh God, you know, I don't know how to, I've got a manifestor client. I don't know how to help them. I'm jumping through hoops. And I'm like, stop jumping. Like, it's not about you. It's not about you. It's about giving them the opportunity to do their own heavy lifting. And as coaches, we talk about this a lot. However, with other types, that there's more guiding that can be done. But with the manifestor, you know, and even when we did a one-on-one session, and this is hilarious because obviously I haven't shared this with you, but there was at one point I was speaking and my whole energy went, shut up, Emma. You know, like there was this real like, shut up, Emma energy, like allow the manifestor space to get where they need to go. So that's just so beautiful. All right. Well, we have pretty much covered what I wanted to cover for this podcast. But to close out, we haven't. I wanted to talk about just when you're so parenting, all right? What I'm going to take from what you said, and then please kind of correct me or add in your parts to it. What I heard you say and what I've heard a lot of manifestors say is that they need freedom, they need independence, and they need to be heard. They need to have the space to use their voice. So if we're parenting manifestors, really keeping those things in mind as best we can. What else would you like to add to that or contribute on the subject of parenting a manifestor, really from your experience of being a manifestor child?
I mean, definitely, I think if it's possible, which might not always be, but really encourage that, you know, that spontaneity in terms of when they have an idea, you know, and they just need to go off and do something, to really encourage that and allow them to do that. Because again, it's like allowing, you know, building that muscle that they can just do that. And it's not that they're, you know, being naughty, or they want to, like, you know, not listen, because maybe also sometimes they could come across as maybe slightly stubborn because they also know what they want. And when they get into the flow, I think the other thing as well, we didn't really speak much about this, but how our energy can be like super powerful and big, but then afterwards we don't have any. So that was also a massive insight for me to realize that I'm not like a generator, and I'm not constantly, because I would be exactly that, that it's okay for us to have the big, and then we need to rest, we need to play, we need to have fun. So I guess also for kids to realize that, you know, when they had the big thing and then afterwards they need to chill, or they need to just have fun and allow them to do that and be that. And really go, yeah, definitely go and allow them to be different and to be big and bold and beautiful in their uniqueness.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. And thank you for so much. I just completely forgot about the whole, the energy piece, you know, really understanding that the manifest energy, as you say, like, yep, it's big and it's powerful, but it is also inconsistent. So, and I do actually want to just touch on a little bit of the technicalities of that. So a manifestor can have the other three motors defined. They can have the heart center, the solar plexus, and the root center. But all three of those centers, even if they're defined, they have an inconsistent energy. The root center is a pulse energy, the solar plexus is a wave energy, and the will center is a like a bank of energy. Once it's out, you've got to invest, put your savings back in the bank. So once the energy is used up, that's absolutely right. Without a defined sacral, because a manifestor always has an undefined sacral, this means that they do have to be very conscious of how they restore their energy and, you know, doing it in ways that feels right for them. You know, there's a lot of talk about manifestors needing to sleep alone, anyone who has an undefined sacral being able to sleep alone. And it was actually a rather hilarious discussion in the membership panel, because they were all like, we have our own bedroom. You know, it's a hard no for me, because, you know, the manifestor does need to be in their own aura to get there and recharge their energy and their batteries again. So, yeah, really understanding that there is that, like you say, almost a polarity of energy within the manifestor that says, yep, I've got this big abundant energy, but then when it's gone, it's gone. I need to actually start to recharge that and build it back up again. So yeah, superpower, and it's powerful and important point. Thank you for remembering
the
that.
The other thing that I was just thinking about is that thing about not finishing things, which again is like such a thing that, you know, you grow up with, that is like, if you start something, you have to finish it. That was definitely something that was very, very important in my surroundings and my upbringing. So again, I think as a parent, when you see that your child has this and they start something, don't make them finish stuff, possibly if that's within reason, obviously, but really, you know, be like, yeah, that's cool. Like, you know, they're just here to initiate, and then they don't always have to finish everything. And
yeah. Cool. Yeah. And that's such an important point as well. You know, like, manifestors will have the energy, if they enter into something correctly, they will have the energy to do as much as they're designed to do, but they also are a type that need to delegate, you know, and the way that the model, if you like, roughly works is that that's the time to handball it off to a generator or a manifesting generator to actually blow that up, to build it, to grow it, to expand on it in whatever form that is. So yeah, that's a really important point. All right. Well, that has been fan-bloody-tastic. Thank you so much, Frankie, for joining. I have loved sharing this time with you. I've loved sharing the last 3 months with you and really, you know, listening to that voice of yours. You know, you have this way with words that I think I said on the mastermind a few times. So please don't think I'm a freaking psycho stalker, but I just love hearing you speak. There's something almost musical about it. So thank you so much for sharing your voice today, for sharing what it is to be a manifestor or your expression of a manifestor, and sharing your journey with human design and your experiment. I'm so freaking grateful to have had you here. Thank you so much.
Thank you, my darling. It's been beautiful. And yeah, you are just such a gift. And also, again, I just love how things just happen in life, how the right people come into your life at the right time. And even with this podcast, I'm just like, you know, how many people out there want to hear, you know, the stories and the messages. And again, you know, your work about allowing everyone to really step into their uniqueness. And really, I mean, uniqueness, I never really understood even what that means. Uniqueness is such a word. But really that, and understanding that you are designed in that way and that you have permission to be that. And yes, I hope we kind of like shed a bit of light on the manifestors and how you are here to work and to spread your wings and to be that beautiful human being that you're here to be. So thank you for all you do. It's been amazing. And I just can't wait for what's to come.
Oh my goodness. I love it. Me too. Oh my goodness. I'm so excited. Anyway, thank you so much. Thank you everyone for joining. I trust this has been a really supportive and helpful podcast. And I'm going to have the next type podcast will be all about generators. So hang in there for that one. Thanks everyone for joining. Thank you so much, Frankie, for joining. And I look forward to having you all on the next podcast. Bye for now.
Thanks everyone for being here all the way to the end of the podcast. I hope you got lots of value out of it. I certainly had a lot of fun doing it. Could I please ask that you share this podcast with friends if you found it valuable? And also, bonus points, could you leave a review for me as well on Apple? It would be greatly appreciated. If at any point you would like to be on the podcast or you've got questions that you'd like me to discuss on the podcast, by all means, get on my socials and DM me. Everything you need is there in the show notes. Have an awesome day. Bye for now.